It's here and now. And if it's cold where you are, let's bring in a summer breeze with a look at baseball. And more specifically, what's being called an historic agreement reached by Major League Baseball yesterday with Cuba's Baseball Federation, which could really open up the pipeline of Cuban ballplayers coming to the U.S. Although the Trump administration's hard line on the Cuban government may put the kibosh on the whole thing. Mike Pesca is here now as a sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
And remind us how Cuban players have come to the U.S. to play. So many of them, but I don't think people know historically how they've been able to play in the U.S.
Right. So since the Castro regime started cracking down and since it became hard to leave the island, players would essentially have to defect in the way that any other Cuban would have to defect, often at great risk and danger to themselves and their families. So there are specific stories about Livian Hernandez on a raft and Ray Ordonez jumping over a wall on an international team's competition. And recently, the L.A. Dodger, Yasiel Puig reportedly had to essentially negotiate with hostage takers who knew that he was worth so much money. And then it puts them in a position of sometimes never being able to contact their families or their families being threatened. And because this is seen as a way to intimidate the next player who was thinking of defecting. So, yeah, this is, you know, it's a really terrible and fraught situation, unique in the world. And Cuban players have a long tradition and history in baseball. Last year, there were 25 Cubans in the major leagues. And for the last couple of years, with the opening of relations with Cuba under the Obama administration, the league has been trying to work out something more equitable for everyone.
But I just want to stay with this picture that you've painted, because we see them, you know, standing in the outfield, you know, scratching their butts or whatever they're doing out there. But to get there was incredible. And in fact, the Major League Baseball commissioner, Rob Manfred, said, you know, you talk about hostage taking and people on rafts trying to get off the island. They have been trafficked.
Yeah, this is human trafficking. And Major League Baseball says we have one reason to do this. And I'm going to put an asterisk in that and I'll tell you in a second. But we had an opportunity to do something to stop human trafficking as relates to the people in our industry. So we're going to take that. Now, I should say that for the clubs, it's better for them, for the major league clubs. It's more advantageous to have a system, a regulated system, rather than this, you know, slapdash, haphazard, often very dangerous way of getting players. So that's good. And that's also represents cost certainty. So But that said, it is still an achievement in terms of making life better for these Cuban players who are going to find a way to come anyway.
Well, but here's a reaction from a senior Trump administration official, spoke to the Washington Post and said the agreement would institutionalize a system by which a Cuban body, this is the Cuban Federation, garnishes the wages and hardworking athletes who simply seek to live and compete in a free society. And then later, parties seeking to benefit from business opportunities in Cuba are on notice that the administration will continue to take actions to support human rights and restrict the Cuban regime's ability to profit from U.S. business. So that was a direct, I think, arrow at Major League Baseball. But is that spokesperson right in this idea that, you know, before, as hard as it was, these players, if they got here, this was their income? Now it seems like they have to go through the Cuban Baseball Federation. You know, they're still under the thumb of the government.
Right. So I'll say two things. One is that it was an arrow, but I think the more apt metaphor is the rattled saber, because I'm not sure any policy will be associated with this, with the noise made by the administration, though it might. On the other hand, in a way, the administration is right if it objects, because money will be going into the pockets of the Cuban Baseball Federation, which doesn't conscript its players, but it's not a free market, and it's benefiting powerful Cuban elites who the U.S. government doesn't think that our citizens should be doing business with. Of course, the alternative would be to benefit human traffickers. So you either have a system where you treat the clubs that own the players as entities to do business with, just like a Korean club or a Japanese club would get some money for the services of a player, or you have a system where you call Cuba the same rogue regime we've been calling it for 20 years, but that brings with it its attendant problems that we've been talking about.
Look, we understand only players under contract to the Cuban Federation are covered by this agreement, and the Cuban Federation agreed to release all players 25 and older with at least 6 years of professional experience who want to go. Why would they do that? Yeah, I mean, yes, there might be some money coming in, but aren't they draining their own baseball system?
No, no, no. I would think that they are now looking at themselves as one of the premier minor leagues, and people who know baseball scouting think of the Cuban League as something akin to, you know, double or triple A. And if you're good there, you'll probably be, and history has shown, very good in America. So the Cuban League is now essentially like the Japanese League or the Korean League. It's also just like international soccer, or as they would call it, football. When one richer club, maybe from the English Premier League, draws from the Brazilian National League, that club who surrenders its player gets a fee.
Yeah.
Either we're a capitalist society or we're lawless and have a bunch of human trafficking that's allowed.
Yep, yep. It's a sense of pride, too. Mike Pesca, Here Now sports analyst, editor of the book Upon Further Review, The Greatest What-If in Sports. Thank you.
You're welcome.